Hello again, this is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. Welcome everybody out there. Tonight I don't have a guest, it's just me, and you know I can always find lots of things to talk about, and a lot of people say they like to hear me talk about things anyway, because I have many books that I've written that I haven't even begun to bring up. But first, let me give you the toll-free number if anyone wants to call in and ask any questions during the show. The toll-free number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Okay. Now, first, I'm going to try to catch people up a little bit. I know a lot of you probably know I've been having a lot of problems about my office. I have an office here in Huntsville, Arkansas, where I see clients. And they come in from all over the world. I don't have any local people at all. And I try to keep a very low profile and try to keep quiet about what I do. But, you know, because this is a little town and what you call the Bible Belt. But I've been here so long that they don't seem to ask me about what I do or anything. They know I write. They're not even sure what I write about. I'm the curiosity of the town because I travel, not because of what I do, because they're always saying, you mean you get on a plane and go somewhere by yourself? It's that kind of a feeling about everything. One woman told me one time, just give you an idea of the town. It's a wonderful town, but it shows the people are rather closed off. They don't go anywhere and are not exposed to a lot of things. One woman told me one time, she said, I could never get on an airplane. I'd sit next to a stranger and they might talk to me. So that's the kind of a, I guess you'd say, mentality. So I just don't discuss what I do, and if I do talk to anyone, and they'll say, well, where did you go now? And I start talking about coming back from China or Europe or something, their eyes glaze over, and they have no concept of it at all. So the majority of them have no idea what I do, just a few friends. And they know I have an office, and usually I just tell them, well, I'm a therapist, I'm a counselor, and I just leave it go at that. But I did have an office right in, this is only a town of 2,000 people. I had it right down on the main highway across from this real nice restaurant and real close to the motel. And we had floods, really bad floods back in March. And as you know, a lot of the other floods were hitting these areas too, Missouri, Arkansas, Kansas. We had a real bad flood. And the whole town of Huntsville went underwater. It was really heavy. They had 10 inches of rain in just a few hours on that day. And I was in the office with a client, with a man who had come down. He'd driven down. And the rain was just pouring down, and it was just coming down the streets. All the culverts were filling up, and it was pouring out into the streets. And we hadn't begun the session yet. We were in the first part where I do what I call an interview, where I talk to the person and get to know them and find out about what they want to come to see me about. And we were sitting there talking, and the man kept saying, I think I hear water running somewhere. And so I went and opened the bathroom door just as the wall burst through. And the water just came pouring in like a waterfall. It was an avalanche. It was really heavy. This little building was built into the dirt of the yard behind it on all three sides. Only the front was open to the street, so it was completely enclosed in the yard. And I guess the water didn't have anywhere to go, and it was come gushing down the hill. So it burst through the wall in the bathroom, and it was just pouring out into the office, and oh my gosh. Of course, the man said, he got any paper towels, and I said, believe me, paper towels are not going to do it. And he said, well, I have some duct tape in my truck. And I said, that's not going to do it either. This is major. So we went and started unplugging the heaters because I had space heaters all over the place, and we started unplugging them, and I didn't know what to do about the furniture. I called my office and I told them, we got an emergency here. And they said, well, you have to just get out of there and go somewhere anyway. And they were going to come down and see if they could get the furniture up on blocks or wood to keep them out of the water. Well, it happened that the man who owned the building also owned this other motel. And he said, if you can get over there, you can have your session there. Because that's what I was telling the man. I said, we're just going to have to get out of here. And the streets were impassable. And he said, but I want my session. I drove all the way from Wyoming. I said, yes, but we got to find a place to do it. I have no idea what's going on here. So anyway, it took us quite a while driving through streets that were completely covered with water to get over to the motel, and we did have the session. And it was so funny that during the session, toward the end of it, those of you who know my work, you know that I can talk to them, to the ones I call they. Sometimes, toward the end of the session, I usually bring something up like that. So it was during the end of the man's session, after we had done what he looked for, we were in the motel room and trying to find his answers. Toward the end, I just asked them, I said, what was that all about that we just had? And they were laughing and laughing. They said, oh, we washed you out, didn't we? And I said, yeah, what was the purpose of that? And it seems as though I had gotten too comfortable. You know how we do. I was there for 4.5 years in this very small room that was my office. It was convenient. It was right on the highway, close to the motel, close to the restaurant. You get comfortable. And it said it was time to move, time for you to get out. They said, you have to move to higher ground. And then they said, ha ha, we make joke. And you can see what they meant, that not only get out of there, but I was supposed to move up, I guess, upward. And so with my whole arrangements. But anyway, they said, don't worry about it. You're going to get another place, and it's going to be really nice, and you're going to be there for many years. But they said, if we hadn't burst on you, you wouldn't move. And that's true. I probably wouldn't. So it was really strange. So anyway, the next morning I had to go find something because we had to get our furniture out of that building. And the water was beginning to go down by then. So I found a place just a few blocks away that was absolutely perfect. It was supposed to be a beauty parlor, and the person didn't open it up. So we moved into that building, did a whole lot of repainting and decorating. And this one was wonderful because it had central heat and air, and it was just perfect. And I was only in there 6 weeks. After a month, after all of this, I was seeing clients there, and it was almost not quite a month. The woman who had a daycare right next to me came in, and she said, well, you know you only have 2 weeks to get out of here, don't you? And I said, what are you talking about? I just got in here, and I just got it painted, and we're just, it's perfect. She said, no, I bought the building, and I thought somebody had told you, you have to leave. I was thinking, oh, no, because I thought, well, what they meant, you know, they, is that I'd found a place that was absolutely perfect, and I found it so quick. I said, well, you've got to give me more than 2 weeks. And so she gave me a month to find another place. And here I was getting ready to leave. I had to go on several trips again. So we had one day to look all over town, trying to find any empty store, anything, trying to find something that we could move into. Because I had to get my things out of there again. And this is 2 moves in just a month's time. So we were looking everywhere. I was even trying to find a house that maybe we could do it there. But then I found out you're not allowed to have a business in a house. So I ended up finding a, it's like a strip mall, and they're building new offices. So we got
BBSRadio.com.
Okay, everybody, I sure hope I didn't lose my audience here. The little gremlins are playing with the telephone line again. You know, that happens sometimes. And I'm just talking away, and I have no idea that I've been disconnected until I get that little electronic thing that comes on the telephone line and says, would you like to make a call? And I said, oh, my gosh, I've been talking to the air. I was disconnected. So I don't know how many minutes we've lost here or if I lost the entire audience. So I'm just going to try to continue, I guess. But this has happened before, sometimes a couple of times during the show, but they said they put me on another line, which may be more secure. They said it's happened a couple of times today down there at the studio. We just need little gremlins that just like to play with things on the line, I guess. They're always messing with my equipment, too. Okay, but I was talking about my office and how we got flooded out, and then I went to the second office, and it got bought out. The building got bought out, so I got pushed out of that. But now I have a new one that is being built in a strip mall, and they're building it for me. So this time I'm going to be in a place that I won't have to leave for a long time because I've signed the lease on it. So right now, if people who are coming to see me, I'm seeing everybody in a hotel room. That's the best I can do at this point because people have already made their arrangements and they're flying in from wherever. So anybody that's coming in, our office is giving you instructions that I'll be in this motel room until they complete the new office. It was supposed to have been done in June, but looks like now it's going to be July before we can get in. But it's just like everything seems to be in a state of flux right now. Everything just keeps changing and moving, and my life is like that. There's so many things going on, and I imagine the rest of you out there, your lives are doing the same thing. There are just a lot of changes, things happening, and all we can do is just go with it and roll with the punches, I guess, because you can't fight these kind of things, that's for sure. You just have to go with it and try to figure out later what was going on here, where was it leading. Okay, but that was what I wanted to tell you about the office, and nature stepped in and pushed me out of the other one. It wanted me to move up, and they wanted me to move up, so now I'm going to have a brand new place. It's going to be really nice. Okay, one other thing I wanted to tell you about. I've got a new electronic toy that I'm playing with. You know, when I'm doing my sessions, the tapes is what I use for my books. Now, I see so many people. I see hundreds and hundreds of people in just a few months even. And I don't use all of the sessions because most of this work I do is therapy and it's counseling and trying to help the person. But sometimes I'll get a tape that is interesting and there's something on there that I think I can use in my books because they are always giving me more information. Of course, I always ask permission from the person because the tape is their property, and I always give the tape to them. If there's something on there that I think I might be able to use, I ask if I can make a copy of it. And they know if I do use it, I change the names, I'm making them anonymous, I change their occupations, so that nobody will recognize them. And I sometimes don't use their entire tape, but if I get several clients in a row who are all referring to the same theory or the same piece of information, just saying it in a different way, I may take all these pieces and put them together like a puzzle. So I end up with lots and lots of tapes that have to be transcribed. And in Convoluted Universe Book 3, I had about 100 tapes that had to be transcribed to make that book. And then they had to be woven together and pieced together to make the entire book. That was a great deal of work to do the transcribing. It takes an entire day of typing, well, to me anyway, because one tape is about 30 pages of typing. That's a lot of work to do that. And I had about, about 100 tapes. And some of that material was not used, and it was put over to the side. It'll be used for the next book, maybe Convoluted 4, or another book that I'm working on about the new perspectives of UFOs. So I always have a lot of material anyway. But what I'm getting at, I found something in the computer store. You may already be using this. That now it says you can activate the voice and it will type it on the screen like of the computer, just like an automatic transcriber. And so I just got it, and I was thinking this would really save a lot of work if I can get it to work. I'm going to have tomorrow to play with it. If I could just play the tapes and let the computer transcribe them and do it automatically on the screen, that would really save me a lot of work. So that's what my new toy is that has to do with this digital speaking. And I'm not sure, I think it has to be programmed to your voice, but on my tapes there's more than one voice. So it's going to take some work to see if it's going to work. But it would save me a lot of time and effort if I can get it to do this. Anyway, that's what I've got. My new toy now is the automatic transcriber, I hope, to go into the computer. And this reminded me, while I was fooling with it, of the Nostradamus prophecies in my books that I wrote about Nostradamus. Because, you know, I did have the 3-volume set on the Conversations with Nostradamus when we completely interpreted all of the 1,000 quatrains of the prophecies of Nostradamus, that it was the first time it had ever been done. Now, those books have been out for 20 years. It's amazing that all the things in there are continuing to come true, and the books have never gone out of print in the 20 years that they've been out there. They just keep being printed again and again, and they are all over the world. But the strange thing about it is, when I was doing this, I think it was in Volume 2, some of the prophecies were talking about computers. Now, you remember this was going on when I was getting this material. It was about 1985 and 1986. I just got my very first computer. And nowadays, it would really be a dinosaur. But it would be so slow, and it had the big 5-inch floppies. But that thing was always acting up. Whenever, that's all we had, you know, and I enjoyed doing it because it was a whole lot better than a typewriter. Well, it's faster and better than a typewriter. I wrote my first 5 books on a typewriter. So it was wonderful, but yet it had so many problems and it was so new. I remember when I would tell it to save a chapter or something, I'd walk out of the room with my fingers crossed, hoping it was going to save it and not just put it out into the air somewhere. Because a lot of times if it decided it wanted to eat it, I figured all of my words floating through the limbo, and they were lost in limbo. So when I pushed the save button, I would just hope that it was going to be saved. And then I would immediately put it into paper, hard copy. If nothing else, if worse came to worse, I could always retype it. But they were very unstable, even though they were the modern genius of it. It was so new and so simple compared to what we have now. That's what I was using when we were getting these prophecies in Volume 2 of Conversations with Nostradamus, when he began talking about computers and the advancement of computers that we would see. And when I heard this, I was writing about it, I said, oh yeah, maybe in 100 years, because they sounded so revolutionary. After all, this we just got our first computer. But I have watched in amazement as these changes that he was talking about began to happen in as little as 10 years. And we are right in the middle of what he was saying was going to happen. Of course, now it's been 20 years. But I thought these things could not possibly happen except in 100 years because they sounded so advanced. Now, in the prophecies, he did foresee the World Wide Web. He didn't call it that. We didn't have names for any of those things back in the 80s. But he said he saw the world, and he could see the world completely covered with all these strings and wires, like it was all connected, all covered. And all of the wires all around the world were all hooked together. He said like a gigantic spider web all over the world, and it was all controlled by central places. The descriptions he gave of it, we went through time, we knew he was describing the World Wide Web the best way he could. And he didn't like it. He was not comfortable with it. He said, you're turning more things over to computers than you should. You're turning things over to machines. This is not right. That you need to be doing it yourself. You're giving more power to machines than you should. And he didn't understand it, but he could see that it was just going to become more and more powerful. So at first he saw the ordinary computers. Then he said he saw computers operated by speech, by talk. That's why it brought me to this part, because the day when I'm playing with my new toy, I was thinking, this is what he was talking about. Years ago when I was doing my lectures on the Nostradamus material, I knew they were working on computers that would be operated by talk, but by words, but I didn't know it had been completed. This is what he saw, and he saw it even more perfected, where we would be able to talk to the computer and operate it in that way. Then he saw the next advancements in the computers after this were those that would be controlled by thought. And this sounds revolutionary, but in the last 5 years I've been following this. It has happened, and they are working on it. The first one that did this, the first computers came out in Japan, oh, it's been at least 3 or 4 years ago when they first came out, and they were intended for the handicapped. And the way they were designed, and I think more of them were coming out in America now, the way they were designed is that all you had to do was think at the computer to turn it on and turn it off and to give it commands. They had the thing that they would put on the person head, rather like, looked a little bit like these virtual reality machines. And they put that on the person's head, and it was connected to the computer, and it would activate the computer by thinking. Turn it on, turn it off, do these different things and get it to work. And they were also using this to do other things in the house, turn lights on and off, and these kind of things. So it was an advancement by using the person's thought to activate these things, and was intended for the handicapped. An amazing thing that I saw about that, it said it didn't make any difference what language the person spoke. Didn't make any difference to the computer. Didn't make any difference what language the person spoke. They would just think it. And the computer would recognize it no matter what it was. That's amazing. That is very much the way the ETs communicate, because it's all with thought, with mind to mind. Language has no part in it at all. It's all concepts and thoughts that activate the different parts of the brain when they're communicating. This is what people are always asking me. On my work that I'm doing about the translations, they said with the past life regressions, the person is in another country, they're in another language, how can they understand English? Especially when they ask me about the Nostradamus material. How was he able to understand me when he spoke French? It's because you're using a different part of the brain. And it's a part of the brain that the scientists don't really understand that well. But this part of the brain has to do with vocabulary, but it is different because it is not connected with the, not connected with the thought process in a normal way. And this is the part that they are using in these new computers now by just thinking. So they said, the language is not important. I'm probably not explaining it the best way. But it has nothing to do with language. And I think that is utterly phenomenal that you can control this by just thinking at it. And I believe after that, in America, they began experimenting with it too. And we probably have the same things now in experimental stages that the Japanese started out with. Pardon me, I got a tickle in my throat. But it was, that was what he saw. The next step would be computers operated by thought. After that, if that's not amazing enough, after that, he saw what he called the organic computers. And as I said, when this was coming out in the 80s, I thought, oh, yeah, maybe in 100 years we'll see all these advancements. But look what's happening so fast. And we are already working on what he called organic computers. Years and years ago, I saw an article where they said they had found out a way to make a computer and they were going to use a bacteria of some kind in the computer. And they would make a computer that would be a million times faster and store more information and capacity than they had in the, I think this was in the 90s when I found this, that on a little cube the size of a dice, one of the dice, you would be able to store all of the information in the Library of Congress, and it was going to be done, activated by bacteria. Now, to me, bacteria is alive. And in the prophecy, he said that these organic computers would be able to repair themselves and replicate themselves so that it would be totally different than any computers we have today. Well, then I began to see articles where they are working on computers that would be like powered like by something like a bowl of water. Now, maybe that's where the bacteria is, but they won't look like our computers. They won't even be anything like it, but they are what they call organic computers. And he said by that time, whenever we get to that point, will be the time in the future during the time of the person he calls the great genius. At first we had to go through the time of the Antichrist and the wars in the Middle East, and he had all the different prophecies. After we got through that point, we would go into the 1,000 years of peace and the time of the great genius. So the great genius would be a tremendous inventor, and that he is the one who would invent all of these great wonders. And one thing he would do, he said, was to use the organic computer, and he would be able to put his brain, his personality, his intelligence into the computer. So it would duplicate his intelligence. And that way it would be there to guide mankind through the 1,000 years of peace. And then also, these organic computers would be able to duplicate the DNA and the genetic code of the human being. So they would be able to reproduce hearts, lungs, kidneys, arms or legs, anything that had to be replaced in a person, transplants of different organs or different parts of the body. They would be able to do this with the breakdown of the genetic code by this organic computer. Because after all, everything is just genetics anyway. I mean, codes anyway. and electronics and energy. It's all just energy. So they said this computer would be able to duplicate anything that was necessary in the person's body by reading the genetic code. So he foresaw all of these things that were just so tremendous and so remarkable that it's very difficult for us to believe now. You can imagine in the 80s when this was coming through. And I'm trying to write about something that we didn't have any words for. The people I was working with at that time, and the information was coming through, had no knowledge of any of this because computers had just come out. They had no words, just like Nostradamus didn't have any words. He was doing the best he could to describe something that no one at the time had any words for. But here we are. Now we're getting to computers activated by voice. Next will be activated by thought, then the organic computers, which will totally revolutionize anything we have today. And that's what he saw was the advancements of computers. As I said, he also saw the World Wide Web, which he didn't like at all. He saw that it could be misused, that it would be too powerful, that we had would give over too much to machine. When I was doing the Nostradamus prophecy lectures, and I was lecturing all over the world, now I'm focusing on my convoluted universe theory instead of the Nostradamus prophecy. But when I was doing that, I was receiving mail from everywhere. And I got a letter from a woman in Australia. And I used to show this on the overhead projections when I would do my lectures. She had discovered by using a form of numerology, and it's not your normal numerology that we use today, that's popular. She said this was a form of numerology that was used as far back as the times of Jesus. It was based on something that the Essenes knew how to use. It was a very ancient form of numerology. And she said by using this form of numerology, you could take the name World Wide Web, and when you broke it down with numbers, the numbers came out to 666. And also www, the abbreviation for World Wide Web, came out to 666. And I used to show that to the audiences, and it's utterly amazing. And people in the audience would say, but that's not numerology. And I said, it's not the one that we're used to, but this ancient form of numerology, this is what World Wide Web and www comes down to 666. And I used to wonder, is that an accident? Coincidence? Or did the people who come up with those that name, World Wide Web, did they have some knowledge of this ancient form of numerology? I don't know, but it's interesting to think about it. And this is what he says in Volume 2 when he talks about computers and everything about the numbers and the 666. And, you know, in the Bible it says that too. This is a number of a man. And it also has to do, if you read the part in Revelations about 666, it gives a description of computers and people who will use them. And it's really very amazing how it all fits together. So all of these prophecies are happening. They're all coming true right now. Very amazing, very strange. People are always telling me that they're reading those books and watching it happen on the news, 20 years after the books were first printed. Now, whenever they read the books, I tell them to ignore the parts that have dates in them. We were using an astrologer. We were trying to pinpoint the dates. But I found that with psychics even, dates are the hardest thing to pin down. They can see the vision. They can see the prediction. They can see what's going to happen. But trying to pinpoint it down to a certain time is almost impossible. A lot of that has to do with the way that the future is so variable anyway, and it can change so easily by just people making a different decision and going a different way. But it's almost impossible to pinpoint dates. So in the books, it says a lot of the events, especially the wars and all of those things, were supposed to happen before the end of the 1990s. And they began happening only a few years later as we crossed over into the 2000s. I don't think that's bad that they're only off for a few years. And in those books, Nostradamus told me, he said that he was going to show us the worst case scenario, that there were many probabilities and possibilities that could happen. It all depended on man. And he said, if I show you the most horrible things man can do to himself, will you do something to stop it? That was the idea. He was showing us the absolute worst and hoping that was not going to be the future. Because he saw time going out in many different directions, like the branches of a tree. And he said these were all the probabilities and possibilities that could happen, that the future was not set in stone. It could go in many different directions. And it was all shooting out in different directions. And he said these would come into what he called a nexus point. At this nexus point, there would be an event or a personality that had to occur. In that timeline, they had to be there. The Antichrist, the great genius, the atomic bomb was at one of these. And after that nexus point, it would spread out again into many other branches. These were from the worst to the least effects of whatever the event was. And he said, if you knew what was going to happen, you could make a decision which one of these lines you would want to go down, which one would be your probability, your future, your possibility. You could decide, and you could decide easier if you knew the worst result. Then maybe we could either lessen the event or stop it altogether if we knew. Because, he said, you don't know the power of your own mind. The power of your own mind is so strong, you can change the future because you create your reality. And I've talked about this before. Everything in your life you put there. And people don't like to hear that because a lot of times the things in their life is not what they really want. But everything in your life you have put there. And if you don't like what you have created, if you don't like what you have in your life, you can uncreate it. That's the beauty and the power of your own mind. You just don't realize the power that you have. But Nostradamus said, if the power of one person's mind is that strong, imagine the power of group mind. If you had groups of people all focusing on the same thing, the same result, thinking about peace, about love, about changing the probabilities that he saw. He had groups of people focusing on this. The power of the mind is not only multiplied, it is squared. And he said, the power is tremendous. You can produce miracles. You can change the future. And it was at that time is when he told me, that was my job, was to go out and lecture all over the world and tell people that what he was predicting was not cast in stone. We have the power to change it if we knew what was going to happen. That's why I've been lecturing on this now for 20 years, telling everyone the possibilities and the probabilities and telling them to go back to their metaphysical groups, their prayer groups, meditation groups, and even just have 5 minutes to where they could focus on peace and harmony for the world. And I think it was working because, as you know, as I said, these terrible events were supposed to happen before the end of the 90s. They began, the war started in about the year 2001, and those that time, only off by a few years. And they've never quite been as bad as what he predicted. So maybe it has had an effect. We've been able to slow it down. We've been able to lessen it. Maybe we haven't stopped it altogether. Sometimes the power on the negative side is too strong. But we have lessened it, or it would have been a whole lot worse by now. So the power of the mind is there. And that was what he wanted me to tell people, and what he wanted me to let them know we could do. So it's all there about all of these things, which is really quite amazing. Now, a lot of people have been emailing me, and they want to know about the election. They said, what's going to happen in the coming presidential election? And I said, I don't have the answer to that one. In my books, the only election that was covered was the 2000 election against Gore and Bush. This was the biggie. In the books, he called it the hung jury election. And for many years back then, everybody kept saying, we're going to have an election. Is this going to be the year of the hung jury election? And I didn't know because there wasn't any date on it. But the description took up two pages in volume one, I believe, and it was so exact. So when the 2000 election came about, people kept saying later this was the most accurate prediction they'd ever read anywhere because it gave an exact accounting of what happened at that time with what he called the hung jury election, and he said it would take the Electoral College to decide who the president would be. And there would be a lot of discomfort, you know, friction all over the country because of what was going on. And he saw the recounting. I can't remember the exact words, but I read it at my lectures. It was his exact. So it was really amazing that he saw this happening exactly the way it was supposed to happen. And what I get from that prediction, though, was that Bush was not supposed to win. It was supposed to be Gore. Now, what a different world we would have had if Gore had got the presidency instead of Bush. Things would have really been different because Gore was very much into the environment. And I don't think we would have had this war that's going on over there because things would have gone down a different path. Here again, you have these paths. These probabilities and possibilities that you go down one, you make a different decision, and your future is totally different. Everything changes. So it would have been totally different. But this is what the prediction was about the 2000 election. It was a hung jury election. That was the only, he did foresee Bush, and he saw Bush and the Iraq war. He saw all of that. He saw everything that was happening. He saw the stock market going down. He saw the way that our United States would lose its popularity as it got involved in all of these things. All of that was there. But I don't have anything about this upcoming election that I can tell people. But I will give you a little tidbit here. Now, at my conference that I put on, it's just been 2 weekends ago here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, we had Gordon Michael Scallion there. And if everybody knows Gordon, you know, he doesn't like to call himself a psychic. He calls himself a futurist. And he never leaves his home anymore to lecture, but he agreed to come through the miracle of cyberspace, and he was there with a computer. We had a little webcam to where he was actually in New Hampshire, but we saw him right there in our auditorium in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and the people there were able to ask questions. And it was quite remarkable because he was telling a lot about the future and what's going to happen and what he saw with the environment especially and with the other things that are going on. Well, you know, one thing I found interesting in what he said was we keep talking about the Earth is shifting, and it's doing it now, only it's happening very gradually. Everything is changing. Everything is speeded up. Those who are aware know this. They can feel it in their bodies. They can feel it. Something is actually going on. But I kept thinking, if it is moving, if it is shifting in its location, the scientists certainly should be able to see this. But he said what is happening is that it is shifting and moving on the interior of the planet. The interior part is what's moving and churning. This is affecting the outer crust, but not in the way that it would be noticeable yet by the scientists. He had a great deal more to say, but I can't remember all of it. But we did have the whole conference videotaped, and we are selling those videos of this conference. If you go on my website, we're selling the videos of the entire conference, and you can hear everything that he had to say. And my website is www.ozarkmountain.com. Because the name of my company is Ozark Mountain Publishing. It's OZARKMT.com, the abbreviation for mountain. Or if you're overseas, it's OZARKMT.com. If you're interested in the videos of the entire conference. But this is the part I wanted to make. After the conference was over, I called Gordon and I asked him, you may remember Gordon Michael Scallion is the one that several years ago had the Earth Change maps, and he was selling those. And we both appeared on many panels and conferences where we were both showing our respective maps. You may remember him from that. Anyway, after the conference was over, the next day I called Gordon to thank him about it. But coming and doing this for us, because I thought it was a great honor that he would agree to do it. And I told him after the conference, after his talk, some people were coming up to me and saying, what about the election? Who's going to win the election? And I told him, I said, you should have asked Gordon while we had him on the screen. So I asked him, what about the election? What can you tell me? And he says, oh, it's Obama hands down, double digits. There's no question about it at all. So now you hear it here first, unless he has it on his own show. He has a weekly radio show now also. But he's probably telling everybody the same thing, but this is the first time you've heard it on my show. He said it would be Obama, hands down, no question at all. Because he said the main thing we had to get the militaristic government out, and that McCain would be continuing the military type of government, and that would have to go. That is the old guard, the old world, and we're moving into a totally new world, a whole totally different way of looking at things. So he said what we're moving into with the new election that's coming up will be a totally new form of government. It's more like a socialistic form of government, but it will be away from the military. And he said things will be so different, and it will be so wonderful for the country, that there will be so many advances that you won't be able to believe it. So we are headed for really good times with this new president and the new elections, and the entire country is going to really benefit from it. I'm trying to think what he said about the energies and the cars and everything. But I believe he talked about how we were going to change the type of fuel that we use also. But I did want to tell you what he did say about the election. I don't have the answers, but that's what he saw. So we'll just have to wait just for a few more months and find out. And also on the news tonight, they were showing the North Pole and how the ice is melting. And they've been talking about this, but this time they had speeded up photographs of it. And it's getting now where you'll be able to sail, they said, clear across the top of the world and not be stopped by ice. And it's really
changing the entire face of the North Pole. This also is what Nostradamus saw when he talked about the Earth changes and the Earth maps that I had. And the scientists have said, I was saying all this back years ago when I was doing my lectures on this, that this will increase the water level of the oceans. And they said that the water level of the oceans only had to increase by 3 inches, I think it was. And that most of the coastal parts would be underwater. It's not going to take much for it to bring those up. And look what's happening now. We see it right here in our part of the country with the floods I was talking about and then the floods further north from us. That now, they said, the entire breadbasket of the United States is underwater. This is really going to affect the food prices. But all of this is happening, and I think it is related to the melting of the ice caps and to the global warming. Things are strange. Things are happening all over. We are living in interesting times. All we can do is go with it, but it's interesting times. There are things happening we would never, ever have suspected before. Interesting. Well, I was going to talk about some of my other books, but I guess I got off on this, and that's okay. Next week, if I don't have a guest, I still have lots of other material that I can go by. And I sure hope that I didn't lose my audience whenever the Gremlins played with the telephone lines. If that happened, then you can get it when you download this on the archives. All right, but if anybody is interested in, like I said, the videos of the conference, if you're interested in my upcoming hypnosis classes, or if you want to find out about the new books, or want any sessions with me, of course I'm going out of the country, we're not going to be booking anything for a while, but if you're interested in any of that, you check out my website, Ozark Mountain, OZARKMT.com. Or call the office at 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045 to get more information. So, until next week then, I hope everybody stays safe and well, and no more floods, no more fires out in California where the VBS is located. And so everything just goes right. I'll see you next week on the radio. Bye-bye.